Right where we've been for the last 3 weeks, and we'll finish up tonight in Luke chapter number 10. And as I started off several weeks ago now, I told you that I believe that God was dealing with me. I was preaching revival up in the mountains, and when I was up there, one of the things that I realized was there were some things that we used to do that we don't do anymore. And there were some things as I went to this little church, and some of our folks have even visited over there, as the church that I was at. It was a small Calvary, as I told you. If you go back to when we first come here, and back in 2012, and anyhow, it was just a small version of our church, and back when we were there, and it was just a blessing. But it taught me, God started speaking to me through all of that about reaching the folks of the day. And I struggle with it as much as anybody, connecting to this generation. Somebody help me. And as I've already said, a fidget spinner, I don't know. I don't even understand why anybody would want something like that. Y'all help me. Is everybody all right? A kid's sitting there and look at stuff and spin it around and look at it. And apparently that, I don't know what that does. What does that do anyhow? Is there anything that just, it's a stress reliever. And I had a stress reliever when I was growing up. And it was about an inch and a half wide. And my dad used it. It relieved all kind of stress for him. Somebody help me right there. I didn't have a fidget spinner, but we had shovels and rakes and stuff like that that kept us busy, so we didn't just sit in a room. And anyhow, I'm not understanding all that. And anyhow, we're in a new generation, but that doesn't mean that we don't need to reach this generation. It does not mean that we need to drop the ball on our part. And so anyhow, God started speaking to me through this, and I got our leadership team, and had a meeting with them, and we got to talking about some of the things. How are we going to reach this generation? How are we going to do it? And anyhow, a lot of this sermon come out of that, but I found everything right here in Luke chapter number 10. I believe the whole outreach of a church is dialogued right here in Luke chapter number 10, and the story here of the Good Samaritan. And this is what you and I are supposed to be doing. We're going to read the whole story tonight, and chapter 10, verse number 25 through 37. I've been just taking points or taking a few verses out of it, and we'll do the same tonight. Our key verse tonight will be down around verse number 35 is where we'll take our text or our key verse tonight, and then build a sermon off of that. But in chapter number 10 and verse number 25, if you're there, I want you to say amen. And the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And as the missionaries already said, there's a lot of folks that are looking at how do I obtain eternal life, as if there's something that I can do. Now, there are churches out there, and as I mentioned already, talking with somebody tonight, there's a Church of Christ out there. They'll tell you that you got to get baptized to be saved. I don't believe that at all. I believe if it was down to baptism to be saved, then Christ wouldn't have had to die. Is everybody all right? When you start adding works to any part of salvation, then why did Christ have to die? If it's up to me to get my salvation, then why did Jesus have to die? And the Bible says very clearly, it said while he was in the garden, he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And the Bible teaches us that all things are possible with God. And so with God allowing him to take that cup and God allowing him to go to the cross, there was no other way to salvation. And Jesus named it when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And very specific on that. Y'all ain't got to get upset. We're in a Baptist church. We walked in. It's got Baptist on the sign. It got Baptist when you pulled into the driveway. If you expected something else, you're in the wrong place. Amen. We're going to baptize somebody. We're going to put them under the water when we get done, too. We ain't going to sprinkle them. Is everybody all right? And we're going to speak a language that everybody can understand. Everybody, amen. Praise God. We Baptists. We still Baptists, I promise you. All right, and I just say it all the time. If a rooster can't crow in his own hen house, he ought to have his neck wrung. Somebody say amen. All right. Verse number 26, the Bible said, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? This lawyer once again tempting Jesus. And Jesus answering him said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And that's where we're going to be tonight. As we looked at this thing, we've broke it up. The first night we really just got into it and gave an introduction. I shared with you the vision of the church and where I believe God is taking us and where God wants us to go with this. And then I showed you after the last 2 weeks and tonight how we're going to do it. Now we started the first week of how we're going to do it with outreach. And we looked at outreach and we looked at the object of outreach is we're to reach out to those that are hurting. And I believe that and I still believe that. I'm not trying to steal people from other churches. It grieves my soul when I hear somebody say, you got a lot of our church members down there. That ain't what I'm after. I'm not after somebody else's church members. I'm after reaching somebody that's dying and going to hell. I'm after reaching somebody that's been left in a ditch half dead. I'm not after somebody that wants to jump from church to church and hop here to there just looking for something that suits their sweet tooth. And so we see the object. We see the opportunity. The Bible says that he ran across this man as he journeyed, as he went on his way. And so many times you and I fail and miss the opportunity to witness others when we're on our way. It's just a simple thing, it's a simple thought. And then the objective is to have compassion on them. Not be like the priest, not be like the Levite that passed by on the other side. You got to want to, somebody help me tonight. You got to want to get involved in somebody's life. We're not going to reach the world if we're not going to get involved in their life. If you're worried you're going to get your hands dirty, then you ain't going to, you're not going to reach this world. If you're worried that somebody might become your friend that you don't want, is everybody all right? I've never in my life, we've come across this thing now where we don't want, we won't help somebody because of the way they look. Don't lie to me and don't act like these folks in here. You would not witness to somebody because of the way they looked. You wouldn't admit it out loud, but in your heart, you know right now God's dealing with you right now. But you wouldn't minister to them the way they looked. You wouldn't minister to them the way they acted. Come on now, help me out. We're missing opportunities. And the objective is for you and I to have compassion on this world, not to name call. Not to point out their faults and their failures. We've all got them. Why? That's not the objective. That's not what the Christianity, that's not what our life is about. That's not what the ministry of this church is. That's not what the vision of this church is to only reach these people that fit into this criteria. That is not what the ministry is. That is not why Christ came and died on the cross. He didn't die for a certain color of people. He didn't die for just white folk. Is everybody all right? I just want to throw that out there. I'll move on. We talked about the outreach. Then we moved on last week and we talked about the care ministry. I believe it's all found right here. We've seen the outreach here. We've seen him as he journeyed. We've seen him come to where he was at. We've seen him have compassion on him. Then we see the ministry of caring. okay, once we reach these people, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? What do we need to do? We got to care for them, the participants of caring. I showed you in the Bible last Sunday, or last Wednesday night rather, this Samaritan, and he's us. Somebody help me right here. You and I ain't got no claim to anything. That's us. That's Samaritan. That's you and I. That's a Gentile that's saved by grace, that's saved by the grace of God, that was in the same position, the same spiritual condition as that man laying in the ditch, and he had compassion on him.
Amen.
We talked about that's what ought to drive you and me, was the fact that Christ died for you and I, and he came to where we were at, and he accepted us for who we are, and he saved our soul and changed our lives. We see the participants of caring. We see the price of caring. I told you last Wednesday night, it's going to cost us something. You can't care for somebody and it not cost anything. You don't believe me, have a kid. You're not going to care for something and then not have a price to it. So there's a price to caring. And you and I, we're going to have to sacrifice our time. We're going to have to sacrifice our treasure. And as we looked in the story of sacrifice some of our possessions, the Bible says that he put him on his own beast. That means that he walked. Is everybody all right? The Bible also says that he gave money to take care of him. I want you to notice this. The Bible says on the morrow when he left, when he departed. That means that whatever he was doing the day before, he stopped it. He did not complete his task. He cared for a man to the point that he did not leave the inn until the next day. Sacrifice of time. Now, it's all there. It's good preaching. Y'all ain't got to like it. All right. The price of caring. The progression of caring. We talked about that there's got to be a connection found. There's got to be a connection that's found, and then a congregation that becomes family and a church that facilitates. And we've seen this by this Samaritan taking him to an inn, taking him somewhere where he could get help. We'll look at that more tonight, but just mentioning going by. And then the patching up and care. We talked about it involves every single one of us, and it's an inspiration, or the inspiration for everything being Christ and what he did for you and I. So we talked about outreach. We've talked about caring for them when we meet them or when we get them here. But now we're going to talk about the ministry of follow-up. The ministry of follow-up. We'll be in verse number 35 for most of the night, but we're looking at the ministry of follow-up. We've reached out to them. We've came to where they are as we've journeyed. We've gotten to them. We've had compassion on them. We've started to help them and help them mend and help their wounds to be healed. And then we start caring for them, loving on them, helping them, and now the ministry of follow-up. And I believe this is where we fail. And myself included. Now, I'm not talking bad about you. I'm talking about me as a preacher. This is my part. This is a big part of where we fail. We had people come into this church in 2012. I think we had 95 people saved in this church when we were in that little old tiny building in there. We get to 2013 and that number jumped up to 100. And I believe every single year since 2013, we have seen 100 people saved through this ministry right here. The problem with that is we're 5 years into this ministry and we sit in a building tonight with less than 300 people. All right? What has happened to that? Matter of fact, this week, just this year, do you realize that in February and March when CT and Becky was here, between our Wild Game cookout and that week of revival, 75 people got saved in 1 week. Through the ministry of Calvary Baptist. Where are they at? Where are they at? I need somebody to help me. Some people that we prayed for and begged and got in the church and they supposedly got saved. Where are they at? What have we done? Where have we failed? I think we failed in follow-up. And I take responsibility for that myself. I think that's on me a lot. But I also believe that it's on you a lot. I can't get it. I can't reach everybody. Somebody help me right here. I need help. And if we're going to do our part, and if we're going to reach this world, we're going to reach this generation, we're going to have to be hitting on all three phases of this. We're going to have to be hitting on outreach. Some of us can't talk to anybody. Can I get a witness right there? I can go into a restaurant, and I can just about talk anybody in the restaurant into buying my food before I walk out. All right? Some of y'all ain't got that gift. You walk into a restaurant, you hiding over there in the corner hoping nobody talks to you. You don't want to see nobody. You kind of hide and go, is everybody all right? That's okay. It's all right. I believe we still all have a commission to go. But I do agree, some of us ain't as good at it as others. So we need to put our efforts where we can be good at something. So that means there's some folks in this church that you're going to be really good at outreach. And praise the Lord for that. That's what we want you here for. I'm tickled to death about that. I love people that get excited about church and invite everybody that they know and people that they don't know. Running around telling people, everybody, about Jesus. And they if you're not being accused of being a Jesus freak, then something's wrong. Somebody say amen. You might not have the ministry of outreach down. We have the ministry of outreach. But then we got some folks that they can't do that. They're necessarily not going to have that gift and they're not going to be able to do that. But they are going to be able to care for somebody. They are going to be able to take somebody and make a connection and begin the process of bonding with them to the place of a discipleship role with them. But we have to have some follow-up. We have to have follow-up. I believe that a lot of churches, and this one included, is missing out on a lot of people, missing out on a lot of this generation because there's no follow-up. We get them in, they walk down the aisle, they get saved, and man, praise God, we'll see you Sunday, and we don't even talk to them anymore.
Come on, you're right.
Some of you brought folks here, they get saved, and you ain't talked to them about it. What do we do? How do we fix this problem? It's a ministry of follow-up. I noticed first off it was a promise follow-up. As we get into our scripture in verse number 35, the Bible says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again. When I come again. I want you to notice that it was a promised follow-up. If you and I are going to do our part and if we're going to reach this generation, if we are going to reach people at Calvary Baptist Church, we are going to have to follow up, and it's got to be something that we do. Is everybody all right? Not just something we talk about. Not just something we plan. Not just something we talk about at the dinner table. Not just something we talk about in our Sunday school class. But you and I have to make a promise that we're going to do this. It was a promise follow up. He promised he was coming back. He says, when I come again, he says, I'm going to do this. I want you to know it was a promised return. He says, when I come again, I'm coming again. We need to have that same type of mentality when we're dealing with somebody here in the church. We need to have some kind of a follow-up. This is one of the things we're doing with our Get Plugged In. We're trying to do that. We're trying to do a follow-up on folks that come to the church, folks that come in here and get saved or whatever. We're trying to follow up on that. And we're using that. We're going to do our best to use that ministry. But you know what? We need your help. Somebody say amen if you understand what I'm saying.
I agree.
We need your help. We sat at a table last night and talked to somebody, and they made this comment that they enjoyed being at this church because they could get involved. They were tired of going to churches where 4, 5, 6 people did everything. Well, if we're not careful and if people don't get involved, that's exactly what this church is going to be. We say, well, we got staff here for that. No, we don't got staff here for that. We got staff here because you whine about this and whine about that, and I got to have somebody here to take care of you whining. Is everybody all right? So no, let's not just throw it off on the staff and throw it off on the preacher. Every single one of us has a responsibility. Every single one of us can follow up. It's not that hard to say hey to somebody. It's not that hard to get some information out of them and let them know that you actually care about them and say, look here, I'd like to call you during the week, or I'd like to text you during the week, or I'd like to take you out to supper sometime during the week. Don't sit here and whine about Calvary Baptist Church and what it ain't what you want it to be if you're not going to be a part of making it what it needs to be. It's going to take every single one of us. I hope I ain't preaching too mean to y'all, all right? It's going to take every single one of us. Right down to the youngins that are running around here. It's not hard to be nice to somebody. It's not hard to be nice to somebody. If you can't be nice to somebody, then you need to get in this altar and get a good dose of Jesus. I'm talking about salvation. Just clearing that up. We see the ministry of follow-up. We see it was a promise follow-up. It was a promise to return, and it was a promise to repay. He said, whatever you got to do to take care of him, he said, when I return, when I come again, he said, I'll repay thee. If you spend more than what I've already given you, when I return, he says, when I come again, I will repay thee. We got to be willing. We got to be willing to go the extra mile. We see the ministry of follow-up. We see it was a promise follow-up. I notice this, it was a prepared follow-up. It was a prepared follow-up. The Bible, if we go up into verse number 34, the Bible says, and went to him and bound him up and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an end. And brought him to an end. As I looked at this, it was a prepared follow-up. He connected him with somebody that could help him. He did what he could do, but then he connected him with somebody that could help him further. Is everybody with me right here? This is ministry of follow-up. Some of you bring a guest here, and we praise the Lord for that, and that guest gets saved, or that guest, they get saved and baptized, and here we are. We can't get into this mindset that we got to hoard them to ourselves. We need to look around. There's people, as I mentioned already, and I think I did this last week, but there's people in this building that have gone through different things. There's going to be somebody that's going to come into this church, and as I've already mentioned, 70%, I think I mentioned this on the first night, about 70% of the people that we will minister to will have had a divorce. How are we going to do that? How are we going to deal with that? You going to do like the rest of the Baptist churches and tell them that they ain't welcome? You going to do like the rest of the folks and tell them that, oh, God's done with you, he can't use you because you divorced? No, but who's going to help them? I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't never been through divorce, so I'm not going to be real good about that. I can help them biblically as far as divorce goes, but there's some folks in here that you have been through it. You didn't want to go through it. It wasn't your plan, and it wasn't God's plan for your life, but you did go through it, and now God says, hey, if you'll let me, I'll use you, and we'll get through that. There's people sitting in this church that's been through drug addiction. There's people that's sitting right here, and there's going to be somebody that's going to walk into this church that's dealing with drug addiction. And you know who can help them? Not somebody that ain't never been through drug addiction. not somebody that ain't never been through drug addiction. You're not going to help them. Hey, there's going to be somebody that's going to walk in here that's lost a child. You know who's going to help them? Not somebody that ain't lost a child. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it takes all of us. And just like it takes 88 keys to make that piano sound right, it takes every single one of us to make Calvary Baptist Church function in the capacity that it's supposed to for Christ. He's prepared. He got him connected with somebody that can help him. You know how that, and listen to me, you know how that's going to happen? You're going to have to get connected to the people in here. Oh, I'm having fun now. You're going to have to get connected to the people in here and learn something about somebody besides yourself. Amen. You know all about yourself. Matter of fact, well, let me just hush and go on. But anyhow, y'all know where I was headed with it. We'll run out of here. Man, some of y'all can't wait to get out of church and run out of here and get gone. We have an outing and you don't show up. Got every other excuse why you can't be here. You may tell you why you don't want to be here? Because you don't love Jesus. Is everybody all right? I'm sorry. I'm talking to everybody out there. Quit telling me about how much you love God. You can't stand God's people. Don't tell me you love God. Don't tell me about how you can be a Christian in your garage of a car sitting in the garage. I'm tired of all that junk. There you go. I couldn't stand church. I hated it. I didn't even want to be around it. When they sang, I didn't want to be in there. When he preached, I didn't want to be in there. But when I got saved, something changed. Amen. I like being around other folks that have been saved. I like being around other folks that have been through what I had been through. Something changed in my life. So if something ain't changed in your life, then have an outing and nobody shows up. Have church. Is everybody all right? Help me now. Don't get quiet on the preacher. Y'all holler like y'all know what I'm talking about. Visitors, y'all just holler because y'all ain't got nothing to worry about. Put on something. We provide meals and do all this for, and we can't, we do mission meals, do all these other things. We got people to sign up for mission meal and they won't even show up. Is everybody all right? We went and bought food because you said you was coming and didn't even show up. We on the internet, so if it ain't you, it's them, all right? Yeah. We have a sign-up sheet out there in the back. Everybody tell us how they can't get here. I just can't get here. I got to feed the young and everything. We're going to feed you before every revival service. Amen. We tell you, you ain't got it. Don't put on a coat and tie. I don't want you in a coat and tie. I don't want you out of character. Just come on here like you are. We just going to church. There you go. Amen. Amen. Don't come in Speedos and don't come in a bikini and we'll be all right. I leave that to the other churches to kick you out. We'll take you, all right? It was a prepared follow-up. He connected him with somebody that could help. But before he could do that, he had to get connected with the innkeeper. Are y'all hearing me? This is what I'm talking about, these outings, these things that we do. This is a time where you can get connected to one another. And you can find out that, hey, this person right here, just through talking, you find out what Selena and Brother Travis has been through. And there'll be somebody else that'll walk in here with a youngin' that's going through something. And you know what? You get them plugged in. Get them connected. Because you can't connect. Unless you've sat up in an ICU room with your youngin' that's been in a horrific accident, you're not going to help somebody that's going through something. But they can. Do you understand what I'm saying right here? But you're never going to know that if you don't get to know people. And the way we get to know people is here. Amen. Not texting and Facebooking behind everybody's back. Everybody all right? We'll go on about that too. All right? Don't be texting nobody's wife. Fellers. Amen. Mine included. I've been married to that gal for 20-something years. Been dating her for longer than that. Well, not dating her longer than that, but I'll whip somebody over my wife. Let's move on. It was a prepared follow-up. He connected him with someone that could help. He provided for his needs. And then he scheduled a follow-up. This is something that you and I, we're going to have to get good at. We're going to go on. We're going to move on. We see the ministry of follow-up. It was a promised follow-up. It was a prepared follow-up. And lastly, it was a personal follow-up. It's personal. As I mentioned already, I think we mentioned a couple of nights into this thing, I had Miss Georgia, she was sitting down on the front row, and we've gotten to a place now where we're almost robotic when we talk to people. A lot of us has got this routine that we go through. Every person that we come to, it's, hey, how are you doing? Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here. And it's a routine. We can quote it, come on now, blindfolded in our sleep. And the problem is that folks are picking up on it. We did some of the folks in the ministry or leadership meeting that I had. They went and they asked some questions on Facebook and said, what do you look for when you go to a church and this, that, and other? And some folks that had been coming to our church said that they didn't get welcomed. And I find that hard to believe. I just really do. And I'm not calling them a liar. Hear me out before you take that. All right. What I think is happening is that we've got a routine that we go through, but there's no connection. In other words, I don't believe and I pray that nobody ever walks into this church that at least 5, 6, 7 people don't shake their hand and say, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. But the problem is that the connections aren't being made because it's not personal. We go through it and we do it so quickly. It's almost as if, hey, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Glad you're here. And we're gone. And they're still sitting there. Thanks. It's got to be personal. Now, that doesn't mean I want you to sit down next to him, Miss CeCe, and talk to him, but I'm sorry. That doesn't mean I want you to sit down next to him and make him feel uncomfortable. But I want it to be personal. Brother Larry always said this, nobody cares how much you know until they know how... Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And if people don't know you care, then they don't... That connection ain't made. Somebody help me. Is everybody seeing where we're at? If we're going to do this, and we're going to do it through outreach, we're going to do it. We're going to start doing some things. We're going to start reaching out. I'm going to talk to this age group, our Sunday school class Sunday. We're going to do some things, and we want to try to get everybody involved, but we want to reach out. People are excited about our church. They are as excited as you were when you first come here. I watch people when they first come, man, and they're eating it up. I seen some of y'all, man, you just eat it up. I mean, you can't even write fast enough for all the stuff that I'm giving in the sermon, and you just a steady, steady, steady. And now it's like, I tell a joke and you don't even like it. Roll your eyes back in your head. Turn over to your wife. Whisper something in her ear. Probably, I'm not saved. And yet there's people that's coming. They just stepped into the church. They ain't been coming maybe a year. And you know what they're doing? Can I borrow your pen? Thank you. Preacher, I got a question. I want to say, go ask somebody else. Because I know never mind. My point is there's people that are excited. And maybe you've lost your excitement. I wouldn't blame that on the church. I wouldn't blame it on the preacher. I wouldn't blame it on the choir. We're going to reach folks, it's going to have to be personal. I noticed this man, he didn't send a preacher. Hey, I'm going to leave you here with the innkeeper. He'll take good care of you. And I'm going to send my preacher to come see you. Hey, is everybody all right? Hey, I'm going to leave you right here, and he's going to take real good care of you, but I'm going to send my Sunday school teacher. Man, he's real good with the Bible. I'll send him back to you. It was personal. He says, when I come again, he says, I will repay thee. It was personal. We're going to have to make it personal. You're going to have to help in this. I'll give you the sub points and we'll quit. It was personal. We see it was a promise follow-up. He said, I'm coming again. He says, I will. I'm going to do this. You and I need to get to this point. This ministry has got to get to the point. We need people that'll make phone calls. We need people that'll text. We need people that'll do these type of things. I don't need another secretary. I need somebody to come in that's got time, that'll come in and to help and help us follow up on these things. Somebody's got to care enough to want to do that. If you can't do outreach, then you can help us out with that. It was a promise follow-up. It was a prepared follow-up. Not off the cuff. No. He prepared to come back. And then we see a personal follow-up. He accepted the responsibility. He accepted the responsibility. He didn't just take care of the man. He didn't just get the man, throw him on a beast, take him to somebody else and leave him there. He accepted the responsibility of following up. Not only that, he adjusted his route. He adjusted his route. As I've already mentioned, the Bible says on the morrow when he departed. That means that he didn't just take him there and drop him off. That means he took him there. He took care of him. He spent the night, and the next day he got up and left. That means if he had a business meeting, it was canceled. That means if he had something going on that night and he was supposed to go out to eat, he canceled it. That means if he had a softball game, he canceled it. Is everybody all right? I didn't mean to go there. All right. He adjusted his route. Lastly, he accomplished his role. He seen it through to the end. And that's what you and I are going to have to do. We can't blame somebody else. Hey, where's so-and-so been? I don't know. You tell me. I get that question all the time. Where's so-and-so been? If you've noticed them missing, why haven't you reached out to them? If you've noticed them missing enough to come ask me, then why haven't you reached out to them? Well, I have no way to contact them. I ain't buying it. Shalee and Lee, they come to church, and I remember them back in 2012. Anyhow, they come to the church, the whole family come, huge family. Now they come and they sit right over in here. They'll come a good bit, about every Sunday. They're over here in their place. But Shalee and Lee, and they were sitting there, and I remember they went missing for about a year. And all of a sudden, they kind of drifted back into church, and I seen them one Sunday. And I was like, I'm gonna catch them. They were a young couple. I said, I'm gonna get them. And so after the service, they got out, and I didn't get to see them, and I didn't have a phone number for none of them. They didn't fill out a visitor form because they was a member at one time of the church, so they ain't filled out no visitor form or nothing like that. Had no contact information at all. So I started quizzing everybody. All of a sudden, I'm not talking about just went up to one person and say, hey, do you know so-and-so? You know how to get in touch with them. I'm talking about I went through everybody. I was messaging people on Facebook, everything, trying to figure out somebody that knew this family. Miranda says, I think I got a number for her, but I'm not sure that it's hers. I said, I don't care. I'll call it. Just give me the number. I always have something prepared. If I call somebody and they say, you got the wrong number, I say, listen, God don't make mistakes. That's good. So I make the phone call. I'm standing in the grocery store, as a matter of fact. No, I'm on the interstate. They're in the grocery store. I make the phone call, and Lee answers the phone. And, of course, it's his wife's phone, so he answers the phone. Hello. Man, you ain't nothing. No, I'm just kidding. I said, hey, is this Lee Kinsey? He said, yes, sir, it is. I said, I'm Brother Robbie. I'm pastor over at Calvary Baptist Church. I said, I noticed y'all come back. I ain't seen y'all in a while. I said, I wanted to reach out, and I wanted to invite you. I want to invite you out to eat with me and my wife, you and Shalee. He said, when? I said, tomorrow night. He said, okay. I said, all right, I'm going to bring somebody with me. I said, I'm going to bring your Sunday school teacher, which was Sheldon and Val. I said, I'm going to bring them with me. I said, you okay with that? Y'all be all right with that? Yes, we'll be fine with that. Got off the phone, I called Sheldon and Val. I said, hey, I need y'all to go out to eat with me tomorrow night. We're going to Olive Garden. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Breadsticks. Zuppa Toscani. I'm starting to feel it right now. We all met. We ate. There was a connection. Probably a year later or something. I didn't know anything that was going on in their life. A year later, I was sitting in a church service. I was sitting in a camp meeting. I got a phone call. Brother, I couldn't even understand Randy Hughes at all. Couldn't understand what he was saying. He was screaming on the phone. I couldn't understand anything. I run out of the camp meeting and still didn't understand. The only word I understood was hospital, emergency room. I jumped in the truck. I went through downtown Valdosta at 75 miles an hour. Y'all say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Brother Travis wasn't on shift. Got to the ER, I come running in there, and the youngin' had a seizure. Anyhow, grandbaby. Probably a couple, I don't know, not long after that, Lee stood up and testified. Some of y'all may have remembered it. And I'll never forget what he said. He was crying. I'm about to cry. He was crying. He said, preacher, I'll never forget the phone call. He said, you don't know what we were going through. He said, I'll never forget that phone call. We were standing there in that grocery store and you called and asked us to come. He said, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have you if it hadn't been for that phone call. What I'm telling you, what I'm trying to get a point across to you is that any one of us could have made that phone call. You got to want to help people. You've got to want to follow up. You got to want to get involved in somebody's life. I had no clue who they were. I had no idea if we would connect at all. I knew nothing about them whatsoever. I just knew that they was there and I wanted to make a connection. And because of that, they stuck around. Them once a month trips to church has now turned into once a week, twice a week, three times a week. Yeah. Why? Because we followed up. Yeah. Somebody cared enough to say, hey, I'm going to reach out to this one, or I'm going to reach out to that one. Hey, somebody in this building tonight that's going to need somebody to follow up. There's people that got saved Sunday. Who's going to follow them up? Well, that's the preacher's job. That's the mentality we got to get out of. That's the mentality we got to get out of. That's why we've been preaching this. This is what we've got to get. We've got to get out of the mentality that everybody else is going to do the job. We've got to take on the responsibility, complete the role, change our routine, do whatever we got to do to reach people. Are they going to die and go to hell? And I'm just not prepared to meet God with that. I want to take all I can. I can't save Washington. They're probably all going to hell, but we can reach Lowndes County. Somebody say amen. We need a missionary up there. Somebody help me. Somebody get on that piano, Dalton. I'm asking you to make a commitment and to join in a partnership to reach and to follow up with the folks that come through this church. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and as they are, I want you, come on. Let's get around the altar tonight. If you ain't done your part, how can you help? Come on now. Don't sit at your seat. This is for all of us. It's going to take a joint effort. It's going to take every single one of us, not just one. Not just this team, this group, this person. Y'all, we could turn the world upside down. Well, what's in this church right here? We could turn the world upside down if we all did our part. Still room around the altar. Make them chairs an altar. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. God, thank you. Lord, for a church that cares, Lord, I thank you for a church that loves people. God, I ask you to help us. Lord, if we endeavor to do things that, Lord, most churches aren't wanting to do anymore. God, people, we live in a day and time where most churches is just a meeting place for friends. God, we want this church to be a hospital for hurt. God, a spiritual hospital, a place where they can get plugged in, they can get help. get plugged into the right life support. God, help us to keep that vision. There's somebody in a ditch tonight, half dead. A program from the government ain't going to help them. Finding them a shelter to stay in, while it may be temporary fix, it ain't going to help them. God, they need you tonight. And Lord, the only way they're going to get you is if we as Christians have a burden. Lord, to reach those that ain't just like us, to reach those that ain't in the same condition we are in, same position. God, to reach out with love and compassion, and do our part to bound their wounds, pouring in wine and oil, setting them on our own beast, Lord, to help them. God, help us to be a blessing. Help us to be a cure, a solution. God, we love you tonight. Lord, thank you for moving tonight in our services. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You continue.